Srimad Bhagavatam. The first one is from the Rasa Lila, a dance with Krishna and all the gopis. And I'm going to read from a book which contains the commentaries of Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is in a book that we're reading over at the ashram during our meal times. It's been put out, a translation by Bhanu Swami, edited by Nidhi Swami. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur has called his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam Sararta Darshini. So, I'm going to read a very famous verse. It's the only verse in the Bhagavatam which has the word Radharani. In fact, it's not even directly Radharani, but it's got her name embedded in a Sanskrit word. The context is that Krishna was dancing with all the gopis, as we see in the pictures. He was hand to hand with thousands of gopis. He had expanded himself so that each gopi thought that only she was with Krishna. But suddenly, Krishna wanted to be alone with Radharani. So he left the rasa dance just to be with her. And all the other gopis were suddenly bereft and shocked that Krishna had left the scene of the rasa dance. And so they were lamenting, and this took the form of a kind of madness. They did all kinds of things. They began to ask the animals and the trees, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" They searched for him. "Have you seen Krishna?" They asked the trees, they asked the Tulsi. But they didn't get any answer. Then they began to become mad, and they thought that they were Krishna, and they began to imitate Krishna's pastimes. One gopi would pretend that she was Govardhan Hill, and another gopi would she would do it by lifting her veil, and then another gopi would put her finger up and pretend she was lifting Govardhan Hill and say, "I am Krishna, I am Krishna." Or the one gopi pretended that she was the Kaliya Krishna, because if she was Kaliya, serpent. And another gopi said, "I'm going to dance on your hoods, you poisonous snake. Get out of Vrindavan." And they were just in this way trying to manufacture Krishna's presence. They couldn't attain Krishna in this way. While they were roaming around in this madness of separation, one of them saw at the edge of the forest the actual footprint of Krishna. And those who are expert connoisseurs of Krishna Lila know that he has special marks on the sole of his feet. So they knew this is the marks of the soles of his feet. So they said, "There's the footprints of Krishna. Now we can search him out, actually." and they began to follow those footprints. But then, to their chagrin and jealousy, they noticed there were another gopi's footprints beside his. And they said, "What's this?" Now, some of the gopis, who were, there are camps of gopis. There, one camp is like Lalita and Vishaka, and their camp. They're the followers of Radharani. And there's other camps who are followers of Chandravali. Chandravali. And, so, the followers of Radharani knew that these footprints, besides Krishna's, were the footprints of Radharani. And so they were very happy that Radharani was with Krishna. And the other girls were unhappy. But the gopis cried out, as follows. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya Govinda Prito yam anayad raha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The gopis in the Surid Paksha friendly group, such as Lalita, recognized the footprints of Radha and were internally enlivened. But since they were amongst many different kinds of gopis, they pretended externally not to recognize those footprints. Without mentioning Radha's name, they joyfully declared her good fortune in this verse. They didn't mention her name, but they said, Anayaradita, this fortunate gopi. The gopi said, "Certainly, Lord Narayan, Bhagavan, who takes away Hari, the sorrow of the devotees, and who is capable, Ishvara, of fulfilling their desires, has been worshipped by Aradita, this Anaya, fortunate woman, but he has not been worshipped by us. So after rejecting us, he has run away alone with her." In this statement, the word Aradita refers to Srimati Radharani. The sage Sukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep Radha's name hidden, but now it is automatically shining forth from the moon of Sukadeva Goswami's mouth. This is indeed Radha's mercy, and it is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great fortune. Very poetic. Why did Sukadeva Goswami try to not mention Radha's name? Can anyone surmise why he doesn't want to say it? Since he's such a great devotee of Radharani, why did he restrain from saying it?
We were reading a few days ago that, can I say it?
Yeah.
That well, originally Shukadeva Goswami is Radharani's Shuka or parrot. And he's so fond of Radharani that just by reciting Radharani's name, he could fell in ecstasy. and become unable to continue reciting the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So he was restricting himself not to say that word. And so
he only had 7 days to speak the whole Bhagavatam. It's now up to the 10th canto. Maharaj Parikshit had only 7 days to live by the curse. The Brahmin boy. So if he fell into a trance, how would the Bhagavatam be finished? So he was restraining himself from saying Radharani. That's the reason he felt he would fall into a trance and not be able to speak. But now he has partly said it. Earlier it's mentioned, one of the earlier cantos, he didn't say Radharani, but he was speaking about Krishna's pastimes. And he was asked a question to speak more about Krishna's intimate pastimes. And he paused and he says he had to draw himself back from the spiritual world and get his bearings and continue because he had almost lost his ability to speak, but then he gathered his bearings and spoke again. So these devotees, they fall into trance sometimes and they can't speak. And so certainly the most delicate thing for him would be to talk about Srimati Radharani. So people who talk about her so freely, sometimes they're not really feeling the bhava of Srimati Radharani. They're just talking cheaply and they're not feeling any emotion. And they're called Prakruta Sahajiyas. They would sometimes even imitate signs of emotion. And we were reading about this in Shagadharma, how this is a shadow of the real thing. So Radharani and Krishna were then alone in the kunjas, and they were walking together. Now the gopis are like detectives following the footprints, and they notice that at one point Krishna's footprints are standing just tiptoe. He said, oh, at here, at this point, this lusty boy must have gone up on his tiptoes to gather some flowers from a high branch of a tree at the bidding of the lusty girl. Now, they're sitting down, he's making a garland for her. This is actually what was happening. She asked him to get some flowers. And he did. And then in Krishna, it's said elsewhere that the ways of conjugal love move like a snake, crooked like a snake. Krishna is very expert in his dealings with Radharani, and she's expert with him. They're not like their dealings with Krishna's wives, but they're always smooth and pacific, but they're moving in ways that are sometimes contrary, and this produces more churning. So he gathered more flowers for her, and he said, do you want to go into this a distant kunj that I see? I can make you a flower bed. She said, she said, yes, I'll go there if you want to go. But I'm very tired of walking. So if you want to go there, please take me, please carry me there. I'm tired from walking. So she was acting a little proud and insisting that Krishna carry her there. She wasn't going to walk anymore. She felt she had Krishna so much under her control. So he said, "You want me to carry you?" "Yes," she said. "All right," Krishna said, "climb up on my shoulders." So she went to climb up on his shoulders, but suddenly he disappeared. Just to churn up their relationship, he was acting toward her as if she was too proud. And then she became completely devastated that Krishna had left her like that. And she was crying and crying. "Oh, where have you gone? Where have you gone?" And he was speaking to her, but she couldn't see him. He said, "You shouldn't have treated me like that. I'm just a young village boy, and you became too proud. And of our relationship, you took me for granted." She said, "No, I didn't. I was just tired. I didn't know that this would hurt your feelings like that. Please come back. I will not act like that again." He said, "All right. Come, give me your hand." She said, "I can't see you now. I'm blinded by tears." And actually, Radharani was also thinking that she didn't want... She knew that the gopis were searching for her, and she didn't want the gopis to come and catch her with Krishna and feel hurt that she was left out. And Krishna didn't want to see that either. He wanted to see them all pleased and united. So what happened was the gopis finally came upon... They were thinking bad of Radharani. "Oh, Radharani, we feel so much fault toward her. She's so lusty and she is taking Krishna all by herself." But then they came upon Radharani all alone. And Prabhupada writes something nice about that. I'll read it. Oh. Yeah. "All the gopis went further and further into the forest searching out Krishna. But when they learned that actually Radharani was left alone by Krishna, they became very sorry. This is the test of Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, they were a little envious that Krishna had taken Radharani alone, leaving aside all other gopis. But as they knew that Krishna had also left Radharani, and that she was alone lamenting for him, they became more sympathetic to her. The gopis found Radharani and heard everything from her about how she had misbehaved with Krishna, and how she was proud, and she was insulted for her pride." It's interesting that Prabhupada makes it into a general behavior for devotees in Krishna consciousness. He says, this is the test of Krishna consciousness, that we shouldn't be envious of somebody if we think they have a good fortune. You should be sorry for their... We should be sorry, or we should be quick to be sympathetic with them. In the beginning, they were envious. But as soon as they knew Krishna had also left Radharani, they became more sympathetic toward her. It makes it into a general behavior. You shouldn't hold grudges against other devotees, thinking that they have an advantage. Anyway, so now they're all bereft of Krishna, and they together they assemble and go further and further into the darkness of the night. None of them see Krishna, and they just chant the glories of Krishna, as Prabhupada puts it. In this way, the gopis assemble together on the bank of the Yamuna, and expecting that Krishna must return to them, they simply engage in the chanting of the glories of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's like a very sad picture. They're all just away from their homes, sitting on the bank of the Yamuna, chanting all night. And then the next chapter of this Bhagavatam is called Songs by the Gopis. And it's all different songs that they sing. In Krishna's absence, they're actually songs. It's called the Gopi Gita. Remember at Gurukul, the teachers made up these different songs and they used to sing them. One of them is here, it's in the Krishna book, it says, another gopi said, "My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul, even of the lotus flower that grows on the water of lakes made transparent by the clear rains of autumn." And she made it into this song. "My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul, even of the lotus flower." Something like that. Even the children used to go around singing it. "My dear Krishna, you are the life and soul, even of the lotus flower." Prabhupada said that the Gurukul can be, he said, "What should we do?" He said, "Well, you can make plays and from the Krishna book, and the children can just act out the parts in the Krishna book." So I'll stop there for that poignant story of Radharani and Krishna going away from the Rasa dance and then being uniting together, and then Krishna leaving her alone because of her behavior. But as his esoteric meanings as to why he left her, she didn't really act badly. But he left her because of esoteric reasons and of wanting her to be seen by the gopis, the other gopis, and her wanting to be with the other gopis so that they could... she didn't want... She was so lovable to her gopis that she didn't want to have Krishna just by herself. She wanted to be with them and be found out by them, and to be found by Krishna with them in her bereft state. So he wanted that too. So that's why he didn't let the gopis catch Radharani alone with him. Not that she in any way acted bad by asking Krishna to carry her on his shoulders. I thought the other thing I'd do is describe what's in that picture on the that we offered the prasadam to tonight. It would mostly be a reading of Radharani with the bee. And we can bring her into the... Into
yeah.
And I can pass the book around. Because
okay.
It goes a few pages. And different devotees can read. Now, this occurs when Uddhava comes to bring a message to Krishna. Krishna is so hard to get to come to return. although he knows the gopis and everyone else is pining for him. But at least he sends a messenger, Uddhava, to tell them philosophically that his not coming is still all right because they're all one. And he's thinking of them. So Uddhava has this message, and he starts to read it, but before he can read it, one of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee, which was flying here and there, trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger, Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk to it as follows. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from the flowers, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I have seen on your mustaches the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garden of Krishna while he was pressing the breast of some other girl who was my competitor. You feel very proud because of having touched that garland, and your mustaches have become very reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me, anxious to touch my feet. But my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me! I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger Uddhava. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani saw Uddhava as not only resembling Krishna's bodily features, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messenger. She addressed the bumblebee. Your master Krishna is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after taking a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit in another flower and taste. You're just like your master Krishna. He gave me only once the chance to touch his lips, and then he left altogether. I also know that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know how she has become so captivated by Krishna, and why she is so much attached to Krishna, although she knows his actual character. As far as
we are concerned, we are more intelligent than that goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated any more by Krishna or his messengers. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna,
as Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnumurtis, so his pleasure potency, Radharani, has also innumerable expansions of goddess of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Srimati Radharani continued, "You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends who are no doubt very happy in association with him, because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna, they are now happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from a great trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me.
Actually, it goes on for about 5 more pages in stanza 9. Maybe we should end.
Okay. Okay.
So what happens is she's so in a lewd state, she chastises the bubble, and then he flies away. And then she's worried that the bumblebee has actually gone to Krishna and told bad stories. So she calls the bumblebee back, or he comes back, and she says, please don't tell Krishna bad stories against me. I didn't mean it. And then she tries to make peace with the bumblebee. And then Uddhava reads his message to them and pacifies them. But Uddhava, he sees what was happening. He sees her talking to the bumblebee. And he's just amazed at her quality of viraha, bhava, as love and separation. That she could actually do that.